Just need to check if the two people in charge of this time are online. Mr. Gumbi Kelela, can you hear us?
Yes, I'm here, Honorable Chair.
Thank you. We
recording in progress.
This meeting is being recorded.
Time exactly quarter to, so I want to hand over to you, Advocate Mpofu, if you're there.
Thank you, Chair. Yes, I'm here.
Please proceed, Advocate
Mpofu. Thank you, Chair, and I'm indebted to apologize for anyone who had to rush their lunch here. Ms. Telela, okay, you know what I've decided to do is we were talking about this matter of Mukhaladi and others. So I'm going to leave that matter, if you don't mind. I want to deal with that matter and the matter of Samuel. I'll deal with them last because I've got a few questions on those. So I want us to get rid of the other irrelevant matters or just clarity on them. Okay, so if we can go back to the, just to round off the issue of Audi. Am I correct that what actually happened in relation to the matter, the matter of, I don't know what the name of the person, I don't think you gave us the name. You remember you testified about the PP having asked you to do an Audi letter in respect of somebody's possible insubordination. That's correct. Okay, you don't remember the name of that person. I don't think you gave us the name.
Yes, I did not give the name, but I know the name of the person.
Okay, no, you don't have to give it. That's for their confidentiality. It's not important here. Okay. In that case, once you informed the PP that it was being taken care of at the level of line management, that was it. She didn't take it further, correct?
No, she just said they were slow and then that was the end of it.
Yes, no, apart from complaining about the pace of the thing. But she didn't take any formal steps, correct?
I'm not aware of any other steps that were taken.
That were, okay. And again, I think it goes back to what you and I discussed first about the PP effectively also almost playing the role of an accounting authority. As an HR person, you would accept that there's nothing stopping the PP if she is affected by a particular alleged labor misconduct. Like anyone else, she can then basically be complain and ask for steps to be taken, correct?
I guess so, yeah.
Yes. And why do you guess so? You should know so. I mean, let's say I'm the chairperson of a board and some employee comes to insult me, I obviously can't do anything because I'm not a manager. But that doesn't stop me from complaining and then the management must do what management has to do, correct?
Well, the right thing would be to refer it to the line manager of that employee to deal with it.
Yes, but that's exactly what I'm saying. Okay, let's make it easier for you. If I was a minister in a department and an employee somewhere on the third floor insults me or does something, there's nothing I can do, but I'd refer it to the DG or the line manager of that person, correct?
That's correct, yes.
Yeah. All right. Also there was the reference you made to another example where the PP wanted an external, or rather an internal investigator, and you as HR had felt that it should be an external person because the person was senior, correct?
No, it was not HR who wanted that, it was the complainant.
Who felt that, yeah.
Yes. Who felt that the employee was senior, the disciplinary hearing must be handled by external people.
Oh, I see, because she felt that she was senior.
Yes.
Okay. Now, again, okay, the gist of my question is the following. In that case, the public protector basically relented because they eventually, someone from the Public Service Commission was appointed, correct?
That's correct. The employer rep was external, the chairperson was internal.
Now, as far as Mr. Neshuns is concerned, there's nothing really. You confirm that actually he was promoted in the long run, correct?
As far as salary is concerned.
Yes. Okay. No, he confirmed that himself as well. Yeah. All right. This thing about Mr. Malunga, I don't know what it has anything to do with, but since it was raised, at least with a motion before this committee, but since it was raised, I just want to ask you a few things. You confirm that Mr. Malunga was... Okay, firstly, you are familiar with the Public Protector Act, correct?
Yes, I am.
And you know that the role of the Deputy Public Protector is confined specifically to whatever is delegated by the Public Protector, correct?
That's correct, yes.
Okay. And you are aware that Mr. Malunga in particular now, when he was being interviewed by Parliament, the issue of his security clearance arose, correct?
That's correct, yes.
And some of the honorable members felt that he should not, or rather he would not be suitable for the position because of that issue, correct?
No, I'm not, I can't remember that.
Okay, in what context do you remember it being raised in Parliament?
That there was an issue of him not getting the security clearance.
Right. And so what?
No, I don't remember whether there was a decision to that effect. I'm just aware that there was a discussion to that effect. I don't know what the decision, whether that is issued, then that disqualifies him from appointment or not. I'm not aware of that. I can't remember that.
No, that's fine. I think maybe you misunderstood my question. No, I didn't say there was any decision. I understand. I'm saying, were you aware that that matter was raised in Parliament in the context, by those who were raising it, rightly or wrongly, in the context that it would basically render him unsuitable for the position? I'm not saying that position prevailed or it was a decision of Parliament. I'm just saying that's the context in which it was raised. Do you
yes.
know that much?
Yes.
Okay, good. Thank you. All right. Now, and those who felt that, rightly or wrongly again, that he would be unsuitable, felt that it would be a risk to the organization to have someone at that level without a security clearance, correct?
Yes.
Right. And in fact, you may or may not know this, the public protector was confronted about this when she came to Parliament, correct?
Not aware.
Okay. That's fine. She'll testify to that. And then you probably are not aware that she even wrote to the speaker to say, you know, what she must do to manage that risk. And the speaker basically said, well, it's your baby, that the public protector must find a way of managing the risk. I'm paraphrasing. You may not be aware of that. Are you?
No, I'm not aware of that.
Okay. And yes, but you do accept that as a matter of just as a general statement and knowing the policies as you do, that the higher you go in the organization, the more serious the need for security clearance. In other words, because the higher you go, obviously you may handle more sensitive investigations, correct?
That's correct.
Yeah. And therefore, anyway, that's fine. I think it should be unfair to put this to you. But be that as it may, the public protector was then, you know, in a fix, because it was either she assigns sensitive investigations to the person or not. But either way, it was within her power in terms of the statute to delegate whatever powers she wanted to delegate to the person, correct?
Yes, it's her decision to delegate, to decide what to delegate to the deputy public protector.
And the extent of that delegation.
Yes.
Okay, good. But just as a matter of interest, being an HR person, I was just surprised by something, because you know that HR is always looked down upon in management circles, correct? As if it's like an easy job, not like those that are scientific or operational. That's just in every organization. Do you know about that generally?
I've heard about it.
Yes, okay. And so I'm sure you don't share that sentiment.
No, I don't.
Yes, and therefore the idea that if someone, let's put aside now the question of investigations, because we know that there was this controversy about the certificate, the clearance certificate. But if someone is delegated functions such as championing learning and development within the organization, training senior investigators, career path development, that is like succession planning, training on good governance and ethics, a crucial function in an organization such as Public Protector, and forging partnerships with the CETA, and so on. Those are not menial tasks. I mean, those are crucial functions in an organization, even for those people who might look down upon HR, because the future of the organization, for example, depends on the capacity of its people and succession planning, isn't it?
That's correct.
Yeah. All right. Okay. All right. I think that's all with Mr. Malunga. With Mr. Kaposa, you agree that, sorry, just a minute. Okay, sorry, before we move to Mr. Kaposa, Mr. Malunga wrote a letter to the chairperson of the Portfolio Committee on Justice and Correctional Services, Honorable Magwanishe, dated 26 November 2019, which you referred to. You remember that?
Yes.
That you will find at 3443 is GT9 to your affidavit. Can we go there?
Okay.
Right. Now, you were made to read certain parts of that affidavit about the think tank and all that, which we will come to just now. But maybe let's start with that. Yeah, there's not in that letter. There's just a view, I suppose, by Mr. Advocate Malunga about his view about think tank. Correct?
No, I did not say this view. To me, he was actually saying that is the meetings did not meet. I thought I read it as a fact, as far as he was, I mean, as far as his statement. I did not see it as his view.
Okay, if you go to the part that was read to you, it's in the middle of 3445.
Can it be put to the screen? I don't have it in front of me.
Okay, we're trying to do that.
3445. The bottom. You see where he says that the abolishment of think tank structure and so on and so on.
Yes. Okay, I'm not sure whether you're still there or talking because I can't hear anything. It's quiet.
Advocate Mpofu, are you with us? Okay, I'm told he's off the platform. Let's wait for a few minutes get him back. Just a bit of patience, Mr. Chalela. Advocate Mpofu, you are muted. We lost
you. Okay, Chair. Yes, Chair. Okay, I apologize. Well, I thought Mr. Chalela had disappeared. I didn't realize it was me.
Disappeared. Yes.
Okay.
Looks like you disappeared again. Mr. Chalela, are you there?
Yes, I'm here, and I can hear you clearly.
You are one man standing. Let's check Advocate Mpofu again. Might be having a network issues where he is. He's still on the platform, just to make sure that he can hear us. It's frozen. Advocate Mpofu? Maybe let him join again. That will be better that way.
Chairperson?
Are you back with us?
Yes, I think I'm back, Chair. Sorry about that. I was just saying, can you hear me now, Chair?
Yes, please go ahead.
Thank you, Chair. All right, can I'll just start where I think I got cut off. And if Mr. Tshelela, we were debating. Oh, come on. Chair, can you still hear me?
Yes, we can still hear you now.
Thank you. Sorry, I got a fright. I thought I lost again. Mr. Tshelela, we're talking about, you were saying that you did not think it was Mr. Malunga's view. I've just shown you that it was his view, so I'm sure you want to change that answer.
Yes, I'm sorry, I referred to the paragraph above. I was talking to the paragraph above. I now see that you are talking to the paragraph below that.
All right. Okay, but anyway, the point I was making is that you agree that he was expressing his view about the abolition of or abolishment of think tank, correct?
That's correct.
Yeah. And you, again, you know that the think tank is not in the Constitution or the Public Protector Act. It's just a management tool, correct?
Yes.
Which was introduced by a particular public protector. And any other public protector is free to put their own management tools, correct?
That's correct.
All right. All right. Then we were at Mr. Oh, no. The reason I brought you here is if you go to 3446, the part that you were not asked to read in the letter. Go to 3446. You can confirm that, for the sake of progress, I'll read it myself. Under proposed way forward, Mr. Malunga said, and I quote here, in the past, when I have raised concerns about institutional challenges, I have been splashed in the media as having conflict with the public protector. That is not true. I have done my part to ensure that the relationship is cordial. It is, however, my considered view that the portfolio committee should consider rectifying the glaring vacuum in the regulation of the deputy public protector's terms and conditions of employment. You remember that?
Yes.
Yeah. In other words, Mr. Malunga was saying there's no truth in the allegations of a so-called conflict between him and the public protector. But at the same time, he was acknowledging, or rather challenging Parliament itself, as it were, to rectify the anomaly in the Act, namely that the public protector's, there's no job description except that he or she may only do what has been delegated by the public protector. Correct?
That's correct.
Thank you. And do you know if Parliament has since discharged that duty?
Look, I'm not aware of that.
No, okay. Well, neither am I. Okay. Fine, thank you. So let's then go to Mr. Kaposa. Okay, there's nothing here. You said the public protector was not involved in the settlement agreement regarding Mr. Kaposa, correct?
Yeah, not as far as I know.
Yes, thank you. Okay, and let's move on to Mr. Mahlangu. You've confirmed that he was the best candidate for the job, correct?
That's correct.
He was recommended on condition that he sorts out those two issues, the labor court and the security clearance, correct?
That's correct.
And those issues, as you said, may or may not be connected in the sense that the clearance might also be dependent on the outcome of the labor court, correct?
That's correct.
Right. And to the extent that something I think was being made of the fact that you were not aware that there was a letter refusing him the clearance at the time of the extension, the first extension of his letter, or rather of his term, correct?
That's correct, yes.
Yeah, but and that you only became aware of that when you were consulting with the evidence leaders.
No.
Well, that's what the Ms. Bauer said. What is the correct situation?
I became aware much later after his contract of employment has been extended.
It already ended. Okay. All right. Okay, fine. Then Ms. Bauer was just making a mistake, but yeah, it's not important. Okay, but in any event, the real point I want to make to you is the following. You confirm, don't you, that when the public protector extended Mr. Mahlangu's term, just a minute, yeah, the
employment contract.
Right, yes, the next short-term contract. The what was included in that particular contract was the fact that he still had to get a clearance, correct?
That's correct.
And therefore, obviously, one doesn't have to be a genius to work out that if that was included at that stage, then it means the clearance had not yet been attained, correct?
Yes.
Thank you. Then, all right, okay, I think that's... Okay, just again in passing, I mean, I know you are not involved in investigations per se, correct? Except for the management, on the management side.
That's correct.
Yes, but so you may or may not know about this. The public protector, other witnesses have confirmed, was very concerned and alarmed at the what she thought was the lethargy and the length of time that certain investigations had taken when she got into that office, correct?
That's correct.
Yes, and you would know about that, as I say, not necessarily from the core investigation side, but from the management of that problem, correct?
That's correct, yeah.
And you would also know that one of the things she therefore introduced was a, let's call it an indicative maximum period that investigations should take, so that we don't end up with investigations like before, which could last 6 years or 5 years. Certain examples have been made here, correct?
Now, my understanding is that those timelines were there before she joined the institution.
Okay. Did she not introduce maybe or different timelines or even at the level of the implementation thereof to the extent that they were existing?
I'm not aware of that.
Okay. But you know that, okay, you may, again, as I said earlier, you may not be aware, but you know that for so-called service delivery complaints, there's a maximum period of 12 months in place now, correct?
Yes, that's correct.
And for the so-called conduct failure complaints, there's a maximum period of 24 months, correct?
That's correct.
And for the complex matters, there's a maximum period of 36 months, correct?
That's correct.
Thank you. And then there was, then also she introduced the so-called backlog project to monitor those investigations which might fall foul of those deadlines, correct?
That's correct.
And that backlog project was meant to culminate in all backlog investigations, all things being equal, being finalized in September 2021, correct?
That's correct.
Thanks. Okay. And like everything else, there may be some investigations which fall through those deadlines. And what then happens is that they basically get transferred, for lack of a better word, to the backlog project, correct?
That's correct.
Right. Okay, now, yeah, then you testified that there was a meeting to which you were invited. Oh, no, that's fine. That's Mukhaladi. We'll deal with that last year. Let's deal quickly with Mosana. She was the spokesperson, the public protector spokesperson, correct?
That's correct.
And that is a functionality that is located effectively in the public protector's office, correct?
That's correct, yes.
And it's one of those where there has to be personal chemistry or interaction with the employee and the employer, correct?
Correct.
And there were problems between the two of them, correct?
That's correct, yes.
Some kind of breakdown, let's call it that, or maybe that's too harsh. Let's say there was just the relationship was not working, correct?
Yes, that's correct.
Yeah, okay. And the public protector gave you effectively two broad reasons why she could no longer work with Mosana. Namely, one, that she was not doing her work, or that, I think the way you put it, the public protector was tired of doing Ms. Mosana's work. And the second one was disobedience or disrespect, correct?
That's correct.
Right. And those two reasons would be sufficient let assume for a minute, and I don't know what the facts are, but let's assume that there had been toing and froing of between the two ladies about non-delivery. At a certain point, the one who's senior would be entitled to basically to give up and look for someone who's going to actually not need to be spoon-fed, correct?
That's correct.
And as far as the second issue is concerned, I mean, if it is true, again, you and I don't know if it's true, you would agree that it would be almost unheard of for someone, let's say it was a minister or the chairperson of this committee, for someone to just call them by their first name, correct?
Correct.
Yes. And in fact, in this committee, it's even worse. You are not even allowed to call the chairperson you, apparently. But it wasn't that bad at the public protector. You were able to say to the public protector, you have just effectively dismissed Ms. Mosana, remember?
Yes.
Okay, so you couldn't call her by her first name, but you could say you. At least, yeah, you are working in a better environment. Okay, now, and then of course, I mean, and we mustn't make a big thing out of this. There are different employers. I tried this when I was a CEO to say people must call me by my first name, but they refused. So eventually they called me chief, which was a compromise because I think they didn't want to call me by my first name. But the point is that certain employers might not mind or say that they must be called by their first name. That also happens, we must accept, correct?
It's happened. We had that debate in one of our meetings.
Yes. No, it happens. I know. But and but without that kind of permission, one can't summer call the chairperson of this committee, for example, by his first name, Kubudile. Correct?
Correct.
Yes. All right. Now, if we go to...
I take that as just an example.
I knew that was coming, Chair. You remember when you say there are certain things which must not be said even as an example. Well, yes, it is an example, Chair. Right. Now... Now, okay, anyway, the last word on Ms. Musana is that her matter is pending before the courts, correct?
That's correct.
Okay, so there's nothing we can do about that. So let's go to Mr. Ndo. All right. Mr. Ndo, according to you, you were aware that he was charged for serious offense, correct?
That's correct, yes.
In fact, he was charged for sexual harassment. Evidence has been given here, correct?
That's correct.
And I'm sure you don't share the views of one advocate, Raidani, that sexual harassment has an expiry date. And if you raise it at a particular time, then the gun must be pointed back at you, correct?
No, correct, I don't share that.
Yeah, thanks. Okay. Now, the and you said that, and you are aware that the public, this is the matter in respect of which the Public Service Commission was eventually involved, correct?
That's correct.
And also, it was also referred to the Commission for Gender Equality at some stage, correct?
That's correct, yes.
And you would agree that for a leader who is a woman, like the public protector in particular, this would be quite a sensitive issue, that she would be less tolerant of than usual, correct?
Correct.
And you yourself are not aware of what happened with the CGE and whether the complainant was lobbying other bodies to make sure that this matter doesn't die a natural death, as always happens with sexual harassment. You are not aware of any of that, correct?
I'm not aware of that, yes.
Yes. But to the extent, therefore, that it was revived, just for your comfort, it's common cause that the public protector, after all those interventions, was in favor of its revival. So we're not making any bones about that. But you don't know what led to that decision, correct?
Correct.
Right. Now, and then, of course, Mr. Ndo fell sick when it had to be, when he was called upon to attend to this matter and eventually resigned, correct?
That's correct.
Okay, and you said you don't know, he may or may not have been aware that the matter is brewing back or it has been revived, correct?
Yeah, when he resigned, we had not yet issued the charges. So officially, he was not aware. I don't know if he may be aware in other ways, but officially, he was not aware.
Yes, no, that's exactly what I'm saying. Officially, he had not been informed, but you can't say that he was not aware from the so-called grapevine, correct?
That's correct, yes.
Thank you. Right, so then let's move to Mr. Kakana. You say that Mr. Kekana, do you know more or less the charges that Mr. Kekana was facing?
Yes, I can remember some.
Some of them, okay, fine. I'll lead you through them. It is indeed so that actually he received communication by mistake, which was not intended to him. I think there was a mix up with the names, either with the same first name or the same surname, I'm not sure. But bottom line is he received communication which was not directed to him, correct?
That's correct.
And he then transmitted that information to third parties, correct?
That's correct, yes.
And you know that there are policies about the handling of information in the organization, correct?
That's correct.
And such conduct would have been in transgression of those policies, correct?
Yes, correct.
Thanks. Okay, and then he was also found guilty by an external advocate from the Johannesburg Bar, if I'm not mistaken, correct, eventually?
Yes, that's correct.
Thank you. This thing that he was saying too much to the lawyers, you don't know what the content of what he was saying, whether he was telling those lawyers the truth or false information. I conversed this with him. But you don't know, correct?
I would know, no.
Yeah. So then that's fine, that's Mr. Kekana. Let's go to Ms. Baloyi. Ms. Baloyi was on probation, correct?
That's correct, yes.
And her gripe really was that her probation was not extended, correct?
That's correct.
Or rather, I'm sorry, that she was not made permanent following
permanent, her. Yes.
Yes, correct? Okay, right. And this one, we can call it, it was a slip up in your department, correct? In the sense that at the end of the 6 months, somebody slipped up in the sense that at the end of the 6 months, the CEO was not alerted, correct? Sorry.
Okay, is that correct? I did not get that.
Okay, I'm sorry, Mr. Chelela. No, I'm saying, I'm just, because I know a little bit more about this case, maybe, yeah. But I'm saying you would agree that this one was to some extent a slip up on the part of HR, not you personally, in the sense that one of the facts in that matter was the fact that the CEO had not been made aware that the 6 months had expired in the usual way by HR, correct?
Well, that information would have been sent to PP because it was not reporting to PP. It would not have been sent to the CEO.
Okay, good. So, well, then we're saying the same thing. So that information was probably sent to the PP, but you are saying it was certainly not sent to the CEO, correct?
Correct.
Yeah. And the CEO became aware of this, I think, 2 months later, by which time Ms. Baloyi had been on probation, quote unquote, for 8 months, which is longer than the 6 months, correct?
That's correct.
And that really is the gist of the dispute. Unfortunately, that matter falls under what I would call the new wave of reckless litigation. So that issue had gone up to the Constitutional Court. I don't know if you are aware of that.
I'm aware of that.
You are aware that the public protector was successful in the High Court in Pretoria. I know that because I was doing the case myself. You are aware of that?
Yes, I'm aware of that.
Yes, and Ms. Baloyi then appealed to the Constitutional Court, and the matter was remitted back to the High Court for the merits now. Now, remember, the first part was about jurisdiction, whether she had taken it to the correct place. We were of the view that she should have taken it to the Labour Court. Remember that?
I remember that, yes.
Yes, and then the merits were referred. In fact, I think that, if my memory serves me well, it was going to be heard in the High Court, or rather there was toing and froing between the lawyers, but it would have been set down in the High Court at the earliest opportunity, all things if the public protector had not been suspended, correct?
That's correct.
But now, with all that, there was an instruction from the current acting public protector that the matter should no longer be pursued in spite of all those efforts and the costs that have been incurred, correct?
Not aware.
If you know, you might not know. You're not aware.
Yeah, no, yeah.
Okay.
Not aware.
Well, no, it's fine. We'll deal with it then with a different witness. Okay. All right. And then when you say Mr. Mahlangu said to you that the issue of performance was not, I remember you said you raised that you were under the impression that Miss Baloyi was doing well, words to that effect, correct?
That's correct, yes.
And Mr. Mahlangu said there were also other considerations, correct?
That's correct, yes.
And as an HR person, you would know that the issue of probation is much more wide-ranging than mere performance. There might be, and I'm just saying this in general, there might be relationship issues, there might be other compliance issues which are looked at, correct?
Correct.
Thanks. Okay. So, but for now, we just know that there were other considerations which were not specified to you, correct?
That's correct.
Right. Then let's go to Mr. Matlawe. Mr. Matlawe also resigned in the end, eh?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay. And he, in his case, and in fairness to you, you have made it clear that all these cases that have been raised with you, quite frankly, have nothing to do with each other. In other words, there are different types of transgressions. One is about information peddling, the other one is about probation and so on. There's no relationship. Other one is sexual harassment between these matters, correct?
That's correct, yes.
Yeah. And in the case of Mr. Matlawe, at least what you know is that he was attending a meeting with the CEO and he started raising false issues in that meeting, correct?
That's correct.
Right. And after that, then the disciplinary steps were duly taken against him, correct?
That's correct, yes.
Right. One of the issues he raised, which was false, was that the organogram had been imposed and not consulted, correct?
That's correct, yes.
All right. Okay, we don't need to go to the other issues. And he didn't fall sick in his case, but he resigned before he could face the DC, correct?
That's correct, yes.
Okay. And in any event, this DC had nothing to do with the PP. It was on the instruction of Mr. Mahlangu, correct?
That's correct, yes.
And you are not aware of the PP having instigated anything in relation to that matter, correct?
No, I'm not aware, that's correct.
Thank you. All right. Now then, let's move to the two matters that I said I'll reserve for last. We've already touched on the issue of Ms. Mukhaladi. Ms. Mukhaladi, Ms. Sikele, and Mr. Madiba, the late Mr. Madiba.
Yes.
Okay, so the only persons remaining in respect of that matter are Ms. Mukhaladi and Mr. Sikele, and Ms. Sikele, I'm sorry, correct?
That's correct, yes.
Right. Okay, this is another matter which has been mysteriously withdrawn. Are you aware of that?
Yes, I'm aware of that.
Okay, so the matter, as I understand it, there was an urgent application in the... Okay, no, let's do it step by step. You've already confirmed that in respect of this matter, the issue really was that irrespective of the wording of the disciplinary code, which I think is a bit deficient in this respect, but let's put that aside. The chairperson of the committee was an external advocate. I think it was an advocate Kuboni, correct?
That's correct, yes.
From KZN. And that's correct. Yes. And basically, I don't know, Ms. Bauer, if you have the finding as part of the documents in the Mukhaladi matter. Maybe you can assist us.
Sorry, Mr. Mpofu. Usually I can, but Advocate Mayosi is dealing with that. So okay. I wouldn't know where it is in the bundles.
Okay, where is she?
She's not with us today.
Oh, okay. No, that's fine. All right, then, okay. Let's try Mr. Kelela. The members, I'm sure this will be rectified later. But I can say, if it assists your memory, you'll say so. If it doesn't, then I'll just leave it here. But this is what the external advocate said at paragraph 26 of the finding. In the circumstances, I recommend, underline recommend, the following sanctions for implementation. And then he dealt with Ms. Mukhaladi and Ms. Sikele. Do you remember it like that as well?
Yes, I do.
Yes, and as I indicated earlier, the legal issue was therefore whether, to the extent that this was a recommendation, whether it was still binding on the public protector, correct?
That's correct.
Yes, and the public protector obviously held the view, which most people would hold, that a recommendation is a recommendation, and therefore she as the decision maker, provided she had good reasons, was at large to approve or disapprove thereof, correct?
Yeah, correct.
And the employees held a different view, correct?
The institution, our advice also was a different view, but the disciplinary code does not provide for that. That was our advice.
Yes, the internal advice. And then it went to attorneys outside, correct?
That's correct.
And they advised that the matter in fact, I think they issued an opinion that the issue was not, or rather, they differed with your internal view, correct?
No, they did not differ. Our advice to PB was that the National Court does not provide, that is, for her to change, that is, the sanction of the chairperson. But if he's not happy with the chairperson, the option is to review, that is the ruling.
Oh, yes, yeah, no, fair enough. And that option was then taken, correct?
The first one that was taken on the advice of the council, I think it was the appeal, and then which failed, then we reverted back to review.
Oh, I see, to appeal before Advocate Kuboni.
No, to appeal in the court.
No, sorry. You're running ahead. I understand what you're saying. No, you're running ahead of us, yeah. There's no court yet here. I'm saying that you gave advice that to the extent that there was this dichotomy, the correct remedy would be to seek a review, correct?
Yes, yes, that's correct.
And I'm saying, and that advice was there implemented, hence there was a court action, correct?
That's correct.
And that was implemented via external attorneys, correct?
That's correct.
Right. And then the reviewing court found that, or rather found in favor of the employees, correct?
That's correct.
In the agent application. And then there was the main review application was then set down for hearing in the labor court, probably round about now, I can't remember, correct?
The first court matter was appeal, not the review. The review came later, after the appeal was in favor of the employees.
Yes, on the agent.
Yes.
Yes, yes, okay, fine, fair enough, yeah, that happened. But then as we speak now, until at least the 28th of October, I think, after the suspension of the public protector, the matter was then awaiting the hearing on the review, on the actual review, correct?
That's correct.
And then following the suspension of the public protector, the matter was just dropped, correct?
That's correct.
And if you were involved, you can say so. If you are not, but the attorneys were never given any reason. They were just told to withdraw the matter and also even to withdraw as attorneys of record. Some attorneys, from I think Pretoria. You don't know, or you may not know the process of the withdrawal, but at least you know that it was withdrawn. Centurion, the attorneys were from Centurion.
Yes, I know that it was withdrawn, but I don't know the process, the details of that withdrawal.
Yes. All right. And you would agree that to the extent that you had advised the review route, it would have assisted you as HR at least to know, because it's not an easy issue, to know what would happen should this occur again in the future, correct?
Okay, I did not get that. Can you repeat that?
Yes, sorry. To the extent that you had advised that the matter should be taken on review, you would therefore agree that an ultimate outcome would have assisted you as HR, because I'm saying this is not an easy issue in fact, the courts have held one way and the other. There are cases on both sides of the issue. But I'm saying, given the, let's call it for a lack of a better word, the deficiency in your HR code, this would have assisted you in respect of, if it arose again in respect of a future case that an external chairperson made a recommendation. Agreed?
That's correct. In fact, we've already corrected that in our national code.
Very good. So So again, you, okay, so that this dichotomy does not arise again, correct?
That's correct.
Yes, perfect. Okay, so then the what I've called a deficiency, then now I can call it a deficiency boldly because you yourselves have corrected it, correct?
That's correct.
Thank you. Okay. All right, now the for what it's worth, then the matter was withdrawn and the costs were tendered to be paid to the other side, if you know.
I don't know.
You don't know, okay. Well, okay, fine. That happened, I think, after this process had already started that on the 28th of July. But that's fine. If you don't know, you don't know. But you would know this much, at least, that the public protector did not simply differ with the recommendation. She did what is prescribed in law, which is you can't just differ, you must communicate your difference. So she explained that she was differing because there were these issues that you and I have conversed before of seriousness and breakdown in the relationship and so on. But more than that, she gave the affected employees Audi Alteram part-time rule opportunity in that she gave them a chance to indicate why the sanction that she had in mind should not be imposed. Sorry, that's a long question, but I'm trying to save time. Do you agree?
I agree, yes.
Thank you. All right. Right, and okay, well, I had put that the matter was pending, but I was subsequently told that it has since been withdrawn. All right, then, okay, Mr. Nyembe, there's nothing there. I think your evidence actually is that although there's no compulsion to advertise a post like this, the public protector had actually advertised it. Correct?
Which one? There were two positions.
It's the one of Chief of Staff.
Yes, it was advertised.
Yes, thank you.
The one that they could not advertise is the special advisor. The Chief of Staff is advertised.
Okay, the special advisor, there's no compulsion to advertise it.
That's correct, yes.
Yes, because it's the so-called, I think in the ministries, it's called the personal staff or the ministerial staff or the, in this case, the public protector's own staff, correct?
That's correct, yes.
Right. And Ms. The one of, coming to the Chief of Staff now, the lady who was appointed to that was not a permanent appointment, it was an acting appointment, correct?
Yes, it was acting and then later it was a secondment.
Secondment of who?
Of the same person. She started by acting and then that acting was called the secondment, yes.
Okay, fine. And but okay, in either case, she was not the permanent Chief of Staff, correct?
No, that's correct.
And if she wanted to be the permanent Chief of Staff, she would have had to apply, correct? Like everyone else.
That's correct, yes.
And at that stage then, if she did not qualify or did not have the qualifications, she would simply not get the job, correct?
That's correct.
All right. Now, right, then we go to our friend, Mr. Samuel. Right, Mr. Samuel, there's this thing about his charges being too old, which you even you seem to share. Can we just get that out of the way? It is correct that the alleged assault happened in 2011, correct?
That's correct, yes.
It is also correct that the management of those days either accepted Mr. Samuel's version that he was actually a victim, and then the matter was left at that level, correct?
Yeah, that was our dilemma. We don't have any communication as far as how that matter was dealt with. So we don't know. Yes, that's correct.
No, thank you. No, that's fine. But let's for a minute give Mr. Samuel the benefit of the doubt. So on his version, the matter was then dealt with by that management of Mr. Temba Mtetwa, whom I once represented when he was going to be fired at the public protector by Advocate Madantela or something at that stage, or something. But anyway, that's just an aside. According to him, him being Mr. Samuel, that was whatever explanation he gave was accepted by management of those days. Let's assume it would be both the public protector and the CEO or one of them, correct? Should I repeat that question? Should I repeat that question? Or I didn't hear your response. Maybe it's the technology.
I did hear the question, but I'm not sure what are you expecting me? Because I'm saying, as far as the records are concerned, nothing. There are no records, so it's difficult to say they may have agreed or not agreed. So there are no records on that. So that's what makes it difficult for me to say whether it was resolved or discussed or what.
Yeah. No. Okay. No, it shouldn't be difficult. Just listen to the question, please. Yeah. I'm saying, if we then give Mr. Samuel the benefit of that doubt on that question, as I agree that you there were no records, okay?
Yes.
So I'm saying, but Mr. Samuel's version is that, and if you know, you know, if you don't know, you don't know, or whatever. But Mr. Samuel's version is that the management of those days, headed by Mr. Mtetwa, had accepted his version that he was the victim.
I cannot dispute that version, yes.
Yes. Were you aware of it? What did Mr. Samuel tell you that it was at that time? It was water under the bridge. It was done and accepted.
Yes, he did tell me.
Yeah, good. That's all I was asking you. Okay, that's fine. Now, that's why I was saying to you, do you want me to rephrase the question, because I wanted to assist you. So then, assuming that to be so, for example, the true facts are the following. Mr. Samuel was then convicted around about 2017 of assault, correct?
That's correct, yes.
Yes, and he was therefore criminally convicted and criminally sentenced of that attack, correct?
That's correct, yes.
In other words, the courts of law found that his version that he was the victim was false, that he was the one who attacked Mr. I think it's Libya, correct?
Siabi, yes, that's correct.
Siabi, I'm sorry, yes, thank you. Okay, you agree with me?
Yes, I do.
Yes, so that's the watershed moment. It's not 2011. So in 2017, he then gets convicted. His version and of Mr. Mtetwa or whoever had accepted it is rejected by a court of law, correct?
That's correct, yes.
Yeah. So the thing of 2011 is completely irrelevant, correct?
Okay. As far as the court, the court processes, it may be relevant, but internally, that is, we had that, as I indicated earlier, we had two issues that we're looking at, that it was an old matter, should we proceed? And the second issue was, it was a serious matter. If we don't have any proof that anything was done about it, should we leave it like that? So those were the two issues that we were concerned with internally, outside the opening the court.
Yes, okay. No, I'm trying, I understand that, Mr. Chilela, believe me, I do. I'm simply showing you that actually, so you were grappling with these two issues, correct?
That's correct.
Yes, I'm just showing you that there was nothing to grapple with because there were actually no two issues. There was one issue. The one issue which you and I agree on is that the matter was of a very serious nature, correct?
That's correct.
It would be a serious matter if a member of a senior member of the public protector actually attacks a member of the public and become a public attacker, not a public protector. That would be self-evidently serious, correct?
Correct.
Yes. Now, the other thing that you were weighing this against, I'm showing you that it was non-existent. Because you were then saying against that serious matter is the fact that this thing happened in 2011, correct?
That's correct.
But the truth is that the thing did not happen in 2011. The conviction happened in 2017, which is what sparked the issue, correct?
No, the incident happened in 2011. That correct. Is what we're looking at in the institution.
Okay. All right, okay. Mr. Chilela, let's do it slowly. The incident, the alleged assault happened in 2011. We all agree, correct?
Well, that's correct, yes.
And then it was put to bed, rightly or wrongly, correct?
That's correct, yes.
Yes. And then nothing happened for 2011, 2012, 2013, 2014, 2015, 2016. And then in 2017, something new, completely different and monumental happened. Mr. Samuel was found guilty by a court of law of assaulting a member of the public. Agreed?
I'm not sure when you say something new because it emanated from the 2011. So when you say something new, I'm not sure what you mean.
Oh, because I see.
It was a result of the incident that happened in 2011.
I understand. So you don't think that a criminal conviction is something new in this whole story we're discussing?
No.
Okay. No, so it made no difference. Finish.
Okay. I'm saying it emanated, that is, from the incident that happened in 2011. Though the judgment was in 2017. So when you say new, I'm not sure that is what you mean because it emanated from the 2011 incident. So that's why I'm confused by the word new.
No, fine. Okay, no, let me assist you. Let's assume it happened in 1922, okay? All right? Okay. So it's very old, correct?
Yes.
Yeah. But now, in 2017, then the person, at that time, they say, no, it was in self-defense or whatever, and then it's accepted in 1922, correct?
That's correct.
Yeah. Then in 2017, that version is found to be false, or at least is rejected by a court of law, and then the person is found guilty, let's say, of murder, whatever it is that had happened in 1922. You, in your estimation, you didn't regard the happening of that event in 2017 as now a new chapter because the person has now been found guilty of murder or rape or whatever it is by a court of law. You wouldn't.
I wouldn't regard this as new because, as I indicated, it emanated from that particular incident.
Okay, fine. That's my last attempt now because I don't want us to waste time. I accept that the incident happened in 1922. I'm saying okay, let me put it this way. Is it an offense in the public protector or any other employer that you know that you are found guilty of a criminal offense? Is it something that is important in HR terms?
Yes, it is.
Oh, fine. Okay. So when that happens, then does it matter when the thing that you are found guilty of happened, whether it happened 100 years ago or 2 weeks ago? Isn't the important thing the fact that you have now been found guilty by a court of law?
That's correct, yes.
Thank you. Okay, fine. Then we're on the same page. All right. Now, so you therefore accept that the real HR issue arose in 2017, despite that the fact that the alleged attack or assault had happened whatever number of years before, correct?
That's correct, yes.
Thank you. All right. So really, you guys were just weighing up something serious with also something serious. So there was no competition there. But be that as it may, Mr. Here's the other issue. Mr. Samuel is a very senior employee, correct?
That's correct, yes.
He knows that you may not serve in such a serious position with a criminal conviction, correct? At least he should know.
Yes.
Yes. And he also know, you know that employees owe an employer a duty of honesty, correct?
That's correct, yes.
And that duty entails when something like this happens, let's say, I'll run into the problems like the chairperson where I make an example which might not be palatable, but you'll forgive me. Let's say you, Mr. Chalela, last week get convicted of something in Cape Town and nobody knows about. What would be your duty as an employee?
To inform my employer.
Yes. Did Mr. Samuel do that?
Inform the employer about the conviction. We heard it from Mr. Siabi when he submitted a claim.
Yes, for the first
I'm not aware that Mr. Samuel informed the employer about the conviction.
Well, I'm all right. But you yourself as HR, you can't dispute the fact that Mr. Samuel then failed dishonestly in his duty to report himself, basically, as he should, correct?
Correct, I'm not aware of that he reported it.
Yes, that's fine. So in that case then, if he indeed failed, he would also be guilty of dishonesty in that sense, correct?
That's correct.
Thank you. Now, but anyway, we now know that the first time, anyway, the organization got to know about this was when it was being sued by Mr. CRB, I think around about 2018, correct? Sorry, Mr. Chalela, did you
end respond? Of 2017.
Pardon?
End of 2017, yes.
Towards the end of 2017, oh, fine. I can live with that, yeah. So again, now, this is another new milestone. So we've had the milestone 2011 is when the incident happened. Sometime in 2017 or towards the end of 2016, I'll check just now, he gets convicted. But towards the end of 2017, you get sued. When I say you, I don't mean you. The organization gets sued by Mr. Siabi, correct?
That's correct, yes.
So that's another important development in this saga, correct?
Correct, yes.
Yeah. And so if you look at it in its true perspective, then the fact that he was charged, I think according to Mr. Mahlangu, his charges were being prepared, as you were saying, this matter, there was a lot of debate. This would have been around 2019, correct?
Correct, yes.
Yes, and according to Mr. Mahlangu, and you can tell us if you differ, the what you called the initial charge, at least to do with the assault, was drafted around about 2019, but Mr. Samuel was sick, quote unquote, correct?
That's correct, yes.
Yes. And so this story that is being sold here this morning, that he was only charged after the affidavit to Parliament in respect of the initial charge is correct, rather is false, correct?
The initial charge was not issued to Mr. Samuel.
Fair enough.
Yes. So then these other things happened before it was issued.
Yeah.
So then that is everything was brought to the one charge.
Yeah. Yeah.
Otherwise he was never issued with the initial charge of the incident.
Yeah. No. So I'm sorry, Mr. Chelela. If I gave you a different impression, then I apologize. The situation is this. The charges were drafted around about 2019, but not issued, correct?
Yes.
I mean, I'm sorry, again, I don't want to mislead you. The charge, let's not say the charges. The charge to do with the assault was drafted in 2019, but not issued due to Mr. Samuel's illness, correct?
That's correct, yes.
Or alleged illness, yeah. And then that was 2019. Then we get to 2020, January 2020. It's still not issued to him, correct?
That's correct.
Then we get to the 11th of February, 2021. He writes a letter to Parliament insulting the public protector and all sorts of things, correct?
That's correct, yes.
And then a week later, he then goes on a media campaign, or rather, let me not color it. He makes statements in the media apropos the letter to the speaker, correct?
That's correct, yes.
And then, therefore, and all at this stage, the 2019 charges have not yet been served to him. The 2019 charge, sorry, has not yet been charged, served on him, correct?
That's correct, yes.
What then happens is, due to his new alleged transgression of breaking the communication code, new charges then get added, and then those are served to him, obviously, after they couldn't be served before he committed the offense, obviously after he had spoken to the media, correct?
That's correct.
Yeah. All right. And again, you wouldn't know, well, in this case, you might know. Mr. Samuel, in the period of his alleged sickness, would have been aware that the employer was trying to serve some documents on him, or maybe you are not aware.
No, I'm aware.
Was he aware?
He was aware, yes.
Good. So he knew that there are charges that are trying to find him, but except for his so-called sickness, correct?
That's correct, yes.
Yes. And what he then did was to write to Parliament and insult the public protector and then claim thereafter that these charges were actually as a result of that, when in fact the charges predated the so-called victimization, correct?
Yes, the first charge, yes.
The first charge, yes. And therefore, are you familiar with the Protected Disclosures Act?
Yes, I'm familiar.
Yes. So you'd agree that this was a false claim to the status of whistleblower, because a whistleblower is someone who does something and then gets quote-unquote victimized as a result of that something, not in Mr. Samuel's situation where there's an assault charge coming your way, which you know about, and it predates the so-called victimization, and then you falsely claimed to be a whistleblower afterwards. You'd agree with that, just as a general statement on the PDA, correct?
Okay, maybe I need to clarify. That is this.
Yeah.
When the charges were issued to Mr. Samuel, they included the other charges that involved media and all those things. So there was no separate, that initial charge was never issued. So probably when he talked about disclosure, probably he was referring to these other charges, not to the initial charge. That's my understanding.
Okay, let's do it slowly. So Mr. Samuel was convicted of assaulting a member of the public, right?
That's correct, yes.
Mr. Samuel, in 2019, was aware that he was going to be charged for that serious offense, correct?
That's correct, yes.
Mr. Samuel then moved and rather blew the whistle in his version after knowing that he was already going to be charged, correct?
Correct.
So in relation to the serious charge of assaulting a member of the public, you would agree that he could not have been a whistleblower, correct?
Correct.
Yes, because that would be converting the sequence of what the mischief that the Protected Disclosures Act seeks to cure. Correct?
Correct.
Yes. And in all modesty, I can tell you that I was once the chairperson of something called the Anti-Corruption Forum of South Africa, and was one of the people responsible for drafting the Protected Disclosures Act so that we can protect whistleblowers. But as you know, that is meant to protect genuine whistleblowers, not false pretenders, correct?
I suppose so.
Yeah, I suppose so too. All right. Now, so here we have this fake whistleblower. Mr. Samuel then, as I say, knowing all what we've already canvassed, then basically writes to the speaker allegedly blowing some whistle, correct?
Correct.
And thereafter, when those charges are now added to the original charge, which he knew about, he cries, "I'm a whistleblower. This is the only reason." In other words, you know that in terms of the Protected Disclosures Act, one of the most important things is causation, right?
Yes.
In other words, it says you must suffer an occupational detriment, which is the dismissal or harassment or whatever, as a result of, in fact, the words in the act are on account of or partly on account of the disclosure, the alleged disclosure, correct?
Correct, yes.
That would be a whistleblower, not somebody like Mr. Samuel, correct?
Correct, yes.
Thank you. Right, now, I'm just sweeping over a few issues now. Mr. Kaposa, the settlement was reached. Obviously, this was an awkward situation because he was not going to be given, it became clear that he was not going to be given a security clearance, correct?
That's correct, yes.
And in order to mitigate, and obviously that whole saga came at an unfortunate cost to the organization, correct?
That's correct, yes.
And in order to mitigate that cost, the public protector proposed that rather than employing someone, having lost the money paid to Mr. Kaposa, that to mitigate that, we should rather have a seconded person, correct?
That's correct, yes.
And because if a person was seconded from a different department, then the cost would not accrue to the public protector's office, correct?
That's correct.
So that was a good thing, correct? Yes, from a cost saving, from a cost saving point of view, at least, correct?
That's correct, yes.
Thank you. Then, Miss Sikele, there was something that was not clear in your evidence about the pecking order. It's correct that Miss Mukhaladi was a senior investigator, correct?
No, Mr. Mukhaladi.
Yeah, sorry. She was an executive manager.
Yes.
Correct. Which is a senior, quite a senior position, correct?
That's correct, yes.
And in fact, she was an executive manager of a merged set of two previously separated departments, correct?
That's correct, yes.
Yes. And Ms. Sikele, on the other hand, was more junior. She reported to Ms. Mukhaladi.
That's correct.
And where did, in this order, where did Karim, what's her name? What was her surname?
Van Eeden.
Karim Van Eeden, where did she fall?
She is a senior investigator. She reported first to Mr. Madiba and later to Ms. Sikele. He was not reporting directly to Ms. Mukhaladi.
Okay, so she was two steps removed.
Yes.
All right. And so effectively then there was nothing untoward that occurred here, correct?
Okay. I don't understand that. And
no, I'm saying in terms of the relationships between these three persons, the Pona, or rather Ms. Mukhaladi, was the most senior in the pecking order.
That's correct, yes.
Then comes Ms. Sikele.
Yes.
And then comes Van Eeden.
Yes.
Okay. And I thought you were saying, or rather Ms. Bauer was suggesting that there was something, I don't know if she was talking about the pecking order, but that it was not allowed for somebody else. Ms. Van Eeden was a witness against these two other ladies, correct?
That's correct, yes.
Yeah. So did you pick up anything, any anomaly in all this, what we've just discussed?
No.
Thank you.
On the reporting lines, no.
Yeah, all right. And on the charging of who, or rather who was complaining against who, or who was charging who?
Yeah, I think what Okay, Bao was saying, which I agree with, that apparently Mr. Mahlangu said it was the responsibility of Ms. Mukhaladi to charge Ms. Sikele. So I was saying it would have been odd because Mr. Mukhaladi was charged. She was charging her subordinate, it would look like that he's passing that is the blame from her to the that is to her subordinate. That's how
I see. Okay. So basically you are saying that if you are reporting to me,
mm-hmm.
and I'm reporting to the public protector, let's say.
Yes.
And then the public protector raises some issue with me, or some complaint about something or another. In this case, we know it was about a Section 7-9 notice, but it doesn't matter. You are saying then I would not be entitled to then to charge you in respect of an aspect of that issue?
No, I'm not saying you are not entitled. I'm saying the perception could be because you are charged now, you are charging me. That could be a perception.
I see the perception. Okay, but in terms of HR terms, there's nothing stopping me from charging you, correct?
Yes, that's correct.
Yeah, thank you very much. All right. Okay, and Linda. Chief of Staff, okay. Okay, finally, then there's the issue of which I also didn't understand your evidence. You can just clarify for the committee. You would know, as someone who has worked in these industries, and actually, yeah, this is something that I know I once implemented it somewhere, but that's another issue. Basically, what was happening with the leave was that people were encouraged to use it or lose it, correct? There's something called, you know, the use it or lose it principle of leave. In other words, if you accrue too much leave for over a long time, then you might forfeit.
You might forfeit it, yes.
Yeah. So that's what was happening, correct?
Now I'm not sure then when you say in what context are you saying that is what was happening?
No, I'm saying was there's a whole issue about leave. Sorry, I should be asking you in what context, but just forgive me for a second and I'll look at. Yes. Now I'm saying the people who are complaining about leave were effectively complaining about I think there were two things that were being raised. The first one is that, and there's already been evidence about this, that there was in the quest to chase the backlogs and all that, there was let's call it stricter implementation of leave or the refusal or non-refusal thereof, correct?
Yes, employees involved in that project were not allowed to take leave.
Yes, and by the way, are you also aware that there was also leave fraud? That there were people who were taking leave and then logging into the system that they were at work.
I'm not aware of that.
You're not aware of that? Okay, fine, we'll deal with that separately. Okay, fine, let's come back to your statement. So that's one thing. Then people, let's say, would not be allowed to take leave for whatever good reason or bad reason, doesn't matter. But the gist of this is that once people had accumulated too much leave, whatever that means, then they also stood the risk of forfeiting some of it, correct?
That's correct, yes.
Yes. And and that's what the gripe really was about, correct?
That's correct, yes.
Okay. But all that was a result of the what you and I have called this stricter enforcement of leave in relation to people who were involved in certain priority projects, correct?
Okay, the gripe was the fact that they were not allowed to take leave and then they were worried that they would forfeit it.
Yes, but that's exactly what I'm saying. That's why I started with the enforcement issue and then came to the concern about forfeiture. So we agree, correct?
That's correct, yes.
Thank you. And you say that there was the public protector, Busisiwe Mkhwebane, also introduced a wellness program in 2021, although it was not being introduced for the first time, correct?
That's correct, yes.
And that's a good thing, correct?
Yeah, it is a good thing.
Thank you, Mr. Chalala. Chairperson, those are our questions. Thank you.
Thank you, Advocate Mpofu. We'll take a tea break and back in 15 minutes.
Next time,
start with the members for questions.
Next time, thank you. When Advocate Mpofu says, give us time,